This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And, of course, we both welcome you back to another important episode of The New World Next Week that, of course, as always, will remind you, you can go to NewWorldNextWeek.com and get all the episodes in varying qualities. You can even get audio, and you can even get some captions and transcripts. And, again, we're just working on ways to flesh this information out and to spread it out to as many folks as possible. So we're going to begin this episode with a story that has not yet gone away here in the States, and it's gained a lot of coverage, and even on Media Monarchy, I ended up getting a ton of hits on this story yesterday, which is always kind of a surprise about what people are really going to key into, and we'll try and break down maybe why this is interesting to folks. Mystery missile launch seen off California coast. And this story pretty much all sources back to CBS, KCBS in California. So reading, a mystery missile launch off the southern coast of California was caught by CBS affiliate KCBS's cameras Monday night, and officials are staying tight-lipped over the nature of the projectile. CBS called the Navy and the Air Force about the striking launch off the coast of LA, which was easily visible from the coast, but the military said nothing about the launch. KFMB showed video of the apparent missile to former U.S. Ambassador to NATO Robert Ellsworth, who was also a former Deputy Secretary of Defense under Richard Nixon. He says, quote, "It's spectacular. It takes people's breath away," and called it a big missile. Magnificent images, and again, folks, you can find all of this footage, but what starts to get more interesting, Friday night, Vandenberg Air Force Base in California launched a Delta II rocket carrying an Italian satellite into orbit, but a sergeant at the base told KFMB that there had been no launches since then. Ellsworth urged Americans to wait for definitive answers to come from the military. James, we could do a whole show just on that sentence of waiting for the officials to tell us what really happened. Could be a test firing of an ICBM. Officially, at least, the projectile remains a mystery, and the last update I have on this story, again, this morning, November 10th here in the States, is essentially now military officials spinning this story of saying it was merely a plane. And it gets even more interesting when they go to, of course, you have to go to your experts, when we get physicist Michio Kaku, who has weighed in on things such as aliens and global warming and those crazy 9/11 conspiracy theorists. So, James, what's your take on this story? I'm not sure, again, how much this has played internationally, but again, here in the States, it's been all over Google, all over Yahoo.
And it's a good thing I don't go to Google and Yahoo for my news, but yeah, I haven't heard too much about it over here, but just taking a look at the footage online, it looks like a missile plume to me, but who knows? I mean, I guess it could be a plane for all I know, but... I think maybe the interesting part of this story is that we are currently living in a day and age where apparently planes now leave these giant plumes that can be mistaken for missile plumes, and even the former Secretary of Defense can't tell the difference. So I think that shows that there's something going on with these contrails that might be worth looking into. And if people are interested in this story, then that's great. Maybe it'll get them looking into the contrail issue and seeing what's going on up in the skies.
And to ask that question, what in the world are they spraying? Some of the interesting things to tie into this, and again, folks, we don't have time to get fully into this, but we try and lay out the path for you, and we give you all the documentation and sources that we use for New World Next Week. There have been an interesting amount of drills going on, and a misunderstanding put Vandenberg on lockdown on this previous weekend. That would be the base we just mentioned launching the Delta II rocket. So when you tie in these drills and when you tie in the president abroad and speculation about a show of power and all of these things, it starts to just get more and more fishy. So again, James, we always kind of pay attention to the drills and the exercises. That has, all our research has shown that that's the conduit that the private contractors and the black military industrial complex use to make events go live. And we can talk about 7/7 or 9/11 or even the Gulf oil spill, if you like. But again, folks, all of this information is laid out. James, do you have any last thoughts on this before we move to our second story?
Not really. I think that's pretty much it. Let's move right on.
All right. So our second story comes from naturalnews.com, and this source is back to Reuters. Big Pharma to begin microchipping drugs. The age of pharmaceutical microchipping is now upon us. Novartis AG, one of the largest drug companies in the world, has announced a plan to begin embedding microchips in medications to create smart pill technology. The microchip technology is being licensed from Proteus Biomedical of Redwood City, California. Once activated by stomach acid, the embedded microchip begins sensing its environment and broadcasting data to a receiver worn by the patient. This receiver is also a transmitter that can send the data over the internet to a doctor. The idea behind all this is to create smart pills that can sense what's happening in the body and deliver that info to the patient's doctor. Novartis plans to start microchipping its organ transplant anti-rejection drugs and then potentially expand microchipping to other pharmaceuticals in its product lineup. This same technology could soon end up in pills made by other drug companies too. James, what could possibly go wrong with this?
Good question. Well, this is just another example of one of those technologies that could be such a marvelous thing for the human race if it was used for good intentions, but being wielded by the absolute psychopathic maniacs in the medical pharmaceutical complex who have shown no qualms about shipping out HIV-tainted factor VIII blood to hemophiliacs or injecting people around the world with abortifacient-laced vaccines or all of the other things that we know that they're up to, creating the swine flu epidemic just so that they could scrounge billions of dollars out of governments. All of the things that they're up to, we can safely assume that this is not going to be for your best interest, and it's just another example of how pretty soon absolutely everything we do, say, think, speak, swallow, everything that goes into our body, everything that we have on our body will be tracked, traced, controlled, data mined, logged, and otherwise stored for posterity by the ever-loving, wonderful government and people at the NSA and other such wonderful agencies. So it's just another example of how we're being wired into a matrix, and it's being constructed around us. So anyone who swallows this medicine is going to get a very bitter pill indeed.
And this certainly connects to what's called the Internet of Things, what you just said, the wiring of everything. Your toothbrush is connected to the internet, so you can tell how often you're brushing your teeth. And all of those things that unfortunately trace back to companies like International Business Machines, the Final Solutions Company. So the last thing I'll say about this, James, is for folks to look into what has happened to our pets as we've put microchips in them, or to look at the utter hackability of these sort of chips, because it says you'll have a reader. Wired Magazine and others have, of course, shown how easily hackable RFID tags, as whether it's your office building to get into the door or containing your bank or medical history. That's the thing, James. These things would be amazing advancements if they weren't being wielded by the same, basically, eugenics elite.
That's pretty much it. And yeah, as you say, think of the privacy concerns alone, let alone all of the other implications.
So for our third story, and again, we're getting broad coverage here, as I think, James, some of our previous episodes have been focused on the election circus and some of those things. But for our third story, we'll go to tradingroom.com.au. China says G20 should monitor the U.S. Federal Reserve. China's state media has issued a new broadside at the U.S. Federal Reserve's move to prime the U.S. economy, suggesting the group of 20 should monitor policy shifts by the U.S. central bank. The Xinhua News Agency said in a commentary the Fed was risking the global recovery by following its own track for economic revival by spending an extra $600 billion U.S. dollars buying treasury bonds to stimulate the U.S. economy. The comments were published just days ahead of two key summits this week, the G20 meeting in Seoul and the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum, the APEC Forum in Yokohama, Japan, that are expected to focus on rebalancing global trade. Quote, there's an urgent need for the G20 to set up a new mechanism that effectively monitors the issuer of international reserve currency, especially when it's not able to carry out responsible currency policies, Xinhua said. James.
And here we go into the next pre-planned stage of the completely foreseen and consciously plotted financial disaster that is the global economy at the moment. And I mean, just think of how all of this is an inevitable conclusion of all of the things that have gone before, which were all plotted and planned and well known in advance, and yet no one wants to use the word foreknowledge or complicity in this, because no one wants to think that the entire system is being engineered to fail, but it is, and the dollar is being engineered to fail as the world reserve currency, and it's obviously being done so because for at least the last 3 years they've been out in the open touting the new global financial architecture that's going to be needed to bring in a global reserve currency, which will be the SDRs or the Bancors or the Wokus or all the other different ideas that they have going on behind the scenes. But again, they've engineered this so that we're in a rock and a hard place because, as Milton Friedman and other economists have pointed out, the thing that caused the Great Depression was the contraction of the money supply. So they have to be printing dollars right now, otherwise there will be a depression. And yet, those dollars are debt-based. So no, you print as many as you like, but it means you're putting your children and their grandchildren into servitude in perpetuity, basically, to the banksters. So there's no way out of this in the system that they've designed for us, which is why monetary reform is the only real solution.
And I suppose this, in a way, is an update to the story we covered on our previous episode, that the banksters had a little birthday party celebrating 100 years of the Federal Reserve, where they went to Jekyll Island last week to, again, celebrate, you know, whether you want to call it they're doing God's work or, you know, Soros saying, you know, this is his life's work. It's all coming to fruition. It's all working out for them while we tear each other apart on the streets.
Yeah, that's the key point, because they want us fighting for what scraps are at the bottom while they obviously create the money out of thin air up at the top. And it's just a horrible system, and we have to become aware of what the system is and then change it from the bottom up if we have to.
Absolutely. And to be simple, just be the change you want to see in the world. James, I think that wraps up this latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. What do you have to say?
I have to say that I'm going to be probably taking a couple of weeks off of the podcast. I'll be having a new episode coming out on Sunday, but after that, I'll take a couple of weeks off. So the website will be being updated infrequently during that period.
All right. And I have live episodes coming up this week, and also hopefully we'll have some more in-studio guests. And again, folks, just trying to bring you all of the open source information that we have while we're going through this new Gutenberg revolution, using these tools while we have them to spread information.
Absolutely. Well, let's keep doing it. James, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.